Welcome to WSD Voice, a podcast focused on positive and informative news in Waterford School District. I am your host, Sarah Davis, the Director of Communications and Community Relations, and I'm here with my new hosting partner for this episode, Assistant Superintendent of Teaching and Learning Services, Lisa Eldridge. Lisa, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
Absolutely. So this is going to be our last podcast episode for the 2022-2023 school year, and we're going to spend it celebrating our many successes. Lisa, as assistant superintendent, I know that you are very in tune with the inner workings of our schools here at WSD. What classroom-related accomplishment are you most proud of this year?
Well, I think there are a number of things to be proud of this year, but the thing I think we are most proud of is the new English Language Arts program that we are implementing K-12 in our district. The elementary schools are fully implemented this year, and the secondary schools are delving into it little by little and started working on it this year as well. Our elementary program is based on the science of reading, and so it includes phonics, phonemic awareness, comprehension, vocabulary, and all those things that kids need to learn to be proficient readers. So we're very excited about what's going on in classrooms, and we're also very excited that our first set of data showed great growth for our students using the program. So we are looking forward to even more growth and better things to come.
Yes, absolutely. Some great data out there and looking like a lot of great things on the horizon. But let's get into our episode topic. First, we're going to meet Waterford Foundation 2023 Teacher of the Year, Mr. Chris Browey, music teacher at Mason Middle School. Then we will meet three of our graduating students, one representative from each of our high schools, to learn about what their plans for the future are. But Chris, we'll begin with you. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, first of all, congratulations on winning Teacher of the Year. What did that feel like?
Oh, gosh, it was a lot of things all at once, kind of. Definitely surprised and also obviously humbled and very honored that, people felt that I was a worthy candidate. And, that day, honestly, we interviewed and we were observed back in, probably late January, early February, and the Waterford Foundation kind of said, don't hold your breath, just wait, we'll announce this in late April. And so honestly, I had pretty much forgotten, knew it was coming at the end of April, but didn't know the day. So when everyone, Sue Austin and everyone from the foundation came in, it kind of hit me pretty quick. I'm like, oh my gosh, it must be. And so that was really, really great. And the kids were wonderful, and all the staff and administration that came was just really fantastic. So it was a really, really fun day. I'm very surprised.
I got to witness it as well, and it's always such a great day to see some of our best teachers recognized. I was happy to see you get that award, Chris. I know you've worked for us for a number of years, 29 to be exact, I believe. What are some of the levels and classes you've taught over the years here?
Well, I started here at Mott back in 1994, and I was assistant to Jerry Spry, longtime director, wonderful director in Waterford. And during that time, I did the beginning bands, the concert bands, taught the jazz band. Then we also had an improv class, a studies of jazz class, we called it, which I kind of developed the curriculum as we went. And it was a really, really neat class, but all focused on jazz improvisation and jazz style. And I was here for 11 years, then went to, and obviously marching band, concert band, jazz band, and then went to Crary for a few years before Crary was closed. That was 2005 to 2009, in basic classes there. And then 2009, went to Mason and have been there ever since. And there I've done, obviously, all the concert bands. We have a jazz club, we call it, and that's just a volunteer, basically a club. We only meet a couple mornings each week, but they do a really, really great job. So it's fun just having both 7th and 8th graders combined to come out and learn a new style and work on jazz music and Latin and rock. And so that's really neat. A few years ago, we even had a garage band class. We had to come up with another elective, so I was kind of charged with coming up with something that would be for maybe someone that wasn't in band, choir, orchestra, but wanted to learn like drums, keyboard, bass, guitar. So that was kind of neat. That was fun, and we did that for a year. So, yeah, everything from, and choir, I've taught choir for the past few years. So music theory to choir to garage band to marching band. So a little of everything.
Wow, that's a lot of options for kids. I know a lot has changed in teaching since you started in 1994. How is teaching music different now than when you became, than you began?
I think kids in most ways, I think, are pretty much the same. You know, we're still just trying to instill that love for music with them. I think one of the biggest changes is just, I think students have become probably more busy. They just get pulled in so many more directions, whether it's athletics and academics, and all those things are great. The social media, the gaming and everything, I know it takes a lot of time. So I just kind of feel like, you know, maybe kids, I mean, of course, there's the focused ones, and there's the ones that, you know, get attached to their instrument and just do a really, really great job. And I think we still have the majority of our classes that do that. But I think that challenge is kind of there. There's so many other things they could be doing after school, you know. So, but again, I think we find a way to work with whatever level of commitment they can give us, and we find a way for them to be successful and enjoy our classes and, you know, come up with some outstanding ensembles. So that's really the goal. So some things have changed. A lot has stayed the same. It's just kind of some different challenges for sure.
And what would you say your classroom philosophy is?
At the heart of it is really just trying to instill that love for music. I think that has to be there. They have to enjoy what they're doing. They have to, you know, be excited to come to class each day and make music. So that's a lot of it. I was thinking about this a little bit. The past couple of years, I have a quote, just kind of a poster on my wall, and it's an Aristotle quote, but it's, we are what we repeatedly do, therefore excellence is, you know, not an act, but a habit. And I find myself coming back to that so often, and even, you know, referring to it in class, just to say that, you know, even the little things, just coming in, having all your stuff, sitting up straight, putting effort forth into rehearsal every day. In music, you can't just turn that on the day before the concert. You've got to be able to, you know, build skill upon skill over the weeks and the months. So I'm trying to instill, I think, in the students, and even in myself, honestly, when I approach my plans for the day, you really do have to make excellence your habit. Otherwise, you're practicing something less than that. And, you know, I really try to, I hope I get the kids to, again, be excited about it and then start to head towards that as their goal.
I love that, building skill upon skill, and excellence is a habit. I like that a lot. Chris, how did you first get into music, and what led you to want to teach it?
Gosh, I have to credit my parents for that. My dad was all into big band jazz, Stan Kenton. My mom was all about classical music. And I even say, I mean, I went to U of M for my undergrad music education, but I would not want to go up against my mom with a drop the needle test. I mean, she knew everything. She could name you symphonies and operas and everything. So it was always in our house, and I always listened and kind of listened intently because they were always playing things. And then I actually started on guitar for a few years. And then when I got into Novi High School band, and saxophone kind of took over. And somewhere in that time, I was kind of like, I think I could see doing this. I really enjoy music enough. I got with a really good grad student from U of M, University of Michigan, and he helped me get ready to, you know, make it in the School of Music. And he was, Kevin Burr was his name, from Akron, Ohio, and he was just an amazing, amazing saxophone player and teacher. So he was a huge inspiration. And then also my prof at U of M was Donald Cinta, and he, you know, at the time, probably one of the 10 best saxophone players, classical saxophone players in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he was just, everyone that had a chance to study with him, it's life-changing. So those things, and then I've always loved jazz, and I did my master's down at Wayne State a couple of years, 96 to 98, and some of the profs down there, Chris Collins, they're just all, you know, I think really helped inspire me. And then, again, my own love for that music is what I want to try to instill in the kids. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
That's awesome. I can see when you're with the kids that passion come out. It's really exciting to be witness to. Mm-hmm. Could you share a memory with us that sticks out to you from your years of teaching?
Sure. No, I had to think about this one. I mean, so many concerts, jazz festivals, marching competitions, bands doing well at band and orchestra festival, and so on ensemble. But one of the ones that sticks out most in my mind was on a spring trip that we did with Mott back in the late 90s. and we went to Disney. And so we kind of did all the parks, and we did a parade in Magic Kingdom. We did kind of a studio recording on their sound stage, which is really neat.
Wow.
But the jazz band got to perform, at a restaurant called Cosmic Rays. And it was just the most fun experience. I mean, students still will bring this up. Do you remember back in, you know, when we were in Florida? It was so neat because there was a stage that kind of had a sort of a goofy animatronic octopus. So he was kind of doing karaoke while everybody was, you know, just eating. But underneath was another stage. So the jazz band set up down there. And then when we were ready to perform, the stage, you know, the octopus went up in the ceiling and the stage came up. So we were actually on the stage playing. It raised up, and there was like 600 people, you know, all of our guys that were with us, parents and students, and then the jazz band just playing to a huge crowd. And I just remember, I mean, the kids loved it. The students were just all about it. They played well, and it was just such an electric atmosphere. And, yeah, right there in Disney. So that one really stands out. And some of those, I think it was 97 or 98. So some of those students and that jazz band still remember when.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was very memorable for sure.
That is an awesome memory.
Yes.
I didn't know what you were going to say, but that's a really good one.
Yeah, yeah, just, the whole experience, Disney, and the performance.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
it was outstanding.
So earlier today, actually, we had a chance to stop in at Mason Middle School, where you teach at now, to get some footage of you live in action and also talk with your principal, Radhika Isaac, and the student who nominated you, along with his family, Charlie McLean. So we're going to play that clip right now. Hello, we are here at Mason Middle School with Mason Principal Radhika Isaac and Charlie McLean, a seventh grader here at the school, who, along with his mom and his brother, nominated Mr. Browey for Teacher of the Year. So we're going to talk with both of them about their involvement with Teacher of the Year. So Radhika, can you tell me a little bit about what Mr. Browey, Chris, contributes to Mason and to the classrooms here at Mason?
Yeah, Mr. Browey he's a legacy here. He's been here for quite some time, and I know Charlie and his brother take lessons. His brother takes lessons, so he's embedded into our community. So, you know, Chris just brings this energy into the classroom. He's so excited about all of the students that he works with. He goes beyond the school day. He is integrated into our community. He holds a lot of concerts outside of our school day. And so just his commitment, his dedication to the art of the work that he does and all that he offers to the students is definitely one of his strongest assets here.
All right, awesome. And Charlie, why was it that you and your family decided to nominate Mr. Browey?
He is very dedicated to the band program, and he spends a lot of his time and money just trying to help people get better, and I don't think the band program would be nearly as good without him.
Okay, wonderful. Radhika, and you kind of talked about this a little bit, but why is Mr. Browey so deserving of the Teacher of the Year Award?
Well, he spends so many hours here at Mason, just dedicated to not just the students, but just our community as well. And all that he has offered to us, he brings this energy and love to the work that we do. And, for all of our staff members are deserving of such an honor, and we're just so excited that he was recognized because he does put in quite a bit of time into the work that he does. And as Charlie mentioned, he is a cornerstone of our band program here.
Absolutely, and that extra time is so important, putting that extra touch on it. Charlie, do you have an example of, you know, when Mr. Browey maybe stood out to you as a Teacher of the Year?
Well, during the whole summer, he would give me and my brother lessons, and he would go to the school just so he could give us lessons. And I think that was really just nice and a good quality for a teacher to be that dedicated to helping students learn.
All right, well, you heard it fresh from Mason Middle School, Mr. Browey, well deserving of the Teacher of the Year Award. All right, so as you can see, Chris is definitely a beloved and dedicated teacher there at Mason. Chris, an exciting part about winning Teacher of the Year is that you get to pick out a 2-year lease from Suburban Ford of Waterford. So big shout out to Suburban for helping us show appreciation to our winner. But can you tell us what car you picked out? when I left the dealership, it seemed like you were setting your sights on a pretty snazzy Bronco.
Yep, and that is what I went with. I went back and forth a little bit, but the kids were all telling me, so did you get a Mustang? I'm like, I'm not really a muscle car guy. So I was going back and forth between a Sport or a full-size Bronco and just decided, you know what, when are you going to have this opportunity again? And knowing I have to split the miles, but I'm not going to get rid of my other car. So, you know, it's really nice. It's got a soft top so it can roll back. And I just, you know, kind of chose that car because I'm very much in the outdoors. So getting to a trailhead, hiking, backpacking, all those kinds of things is kind of a perfect vehicle for that.
And so, what color?
Oh, it's kind of that slate blue.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, with the black top and nice size wheels and everything. So yeah. Very fun car. My two kids, Joel and Evelyn, were like, you better get a convertible. So I'm like, okay, we'll do that. It was fun.
Well, I hope you enjoy that car. You've certainly earned it. Now, I do want to mention that there were four total nominees for Teacher of the Year, and that the focus this year was on the secondary level teachers. So I'm going to read the names of the other nominees as well. We had Julie Gross, Mason Middle School language arts teacher, reading specialist, and athletic coach. Adria Novales, Kettering High School Spanish teacher. And Christine Simielli, Children's Village math teacher. So congratulations to all of our nominees, who all do a tremendous job of educating our students with passion and excellence. Lisa, I know you know teachers. What do you have to say about this particular group of educators?
Well, I think it's the hardest thing about Teacher of the Year is having to pick one out of a group like this. Mm-hmm. I know all of these teachers, and as secondary folks, they really focus on students. Their outcome is about what do we want the kids to know and how do we want the kids to feel about what they're learning. It's an absolutely tremendous group. I've known Julie Gross for a long time. She does fabulous things at Mason with ELA and some of our EL students. Adrienne is a Spanish teacher at Kettering, and her focus isn't just on teaching Spanish. Her focus is on teaching students. And I would say the same is true of Christine, who's a math teacher at Children's Village with very challenged students, and she reaches them, and she makes a difference, as do all of the teachers on this list.
Yep, excellent points, Lisa. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we will be back to talk about the class of 2023.
Hello, Scott Lindberg here, Superintendent of Waterford School District. It's time to start thinking about where your child should attend school for the 23-24 school year. At Waterford School District, we aim to create today's student to become tomorrow's leader, and we are uniquely prepared to build your child's future. We offer many dynamic learning opportunities, such as an innovative STEM academy, and we recently invested approximately $4 million in cutting-edge curriculum. Enroll at wsdmi.org/enrollment. That's wsdmi.org/enrollment. Come join us here at Waterford School District, where your child will be inspired, educated, and empowered to thrive.
Okay, and we are back. Now it's time to celebrate our graduating seniors. As is tradition, we have asked our principals to select for us one student from their school's graduating class to represent. This year, we decided to meet the students where they are, so we went to each of their schools and interviewed them in person. But before we hear what they have to say, I just wanted to give a few quick stats. We have approximately 535 graduates representing the class of 2023. Over 140 of those students are graduating with honors, and our students have been offered a combined total of over $3.2 million, yes, that's million, dollars in scholarship money.
That's awesome, Sarah, and it's something that we see yearly in Waterford. Our students always earn a great deal of scholarship money.
Absolutely. Okay, so now let's go meet a few of these amazing students. Up first, we headed to Kettering to meet with Madison Lorio, an athlete and theater student with big plans for the future.
Hello, we are here with our first student, Maddie Lorio. She is a senior here at Kettering, so we're going to talk to her about what her plans are for the future after she graduates. Maddie, welcome to the show. Can you talk a little bit about your career here at Waterford and what schools you've attended?
Well, being at Waterford, I attended Haviland Elementary, Houghton Elementary, Pierce Middle School, and Kettering High School.
Okay, awesome. And can you talk about currently now, what are some things that you're involved with here at Kettering? You mentioned you're a three-sport varsity athlete. You've done some performing arts. Can you talk about those things a little bit more?
Yeah, I have done all the musicals that we've had at Kettering. And this year I also did one of our plays. And then I am a three-sport varsity athlete. I do volleyball, bowling, and softball. And it gets me around, and I meet a lot of new people.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a lot of different things. I'm sure with all of those different things, you have some fond memories. What is a memory that really sticks out to you during your time here at Kettering?
Well, this year we did the musical Mamma Mia, and I played Donna Sheridan, which was the lead, and my two really good best friends were also my best friends in this show. So it was cool that we got to play best friends on stage as we are also off stage. So
yeah, that is really, really cool. So what are your plans for after high school?
Well, as of right now, I plan on attending Siena Heights University, and I will be majoring in musical theater, and I will also be bowling.
And being involved in so many things, what is some advice that you might have for a student that's younger than you?
Keep up with grades. That is difficult, but stay with all your schoolwork, make sure you're on top of it, and if you are, then start slowly going into other things that you'd be interested in doing.
Okay, there we have it. Awesome advice from Maddie Lorio here, a senior at Kettering, who obviously has a very bright future.
Great stuff from Maddie. Sarah, you also took a stop into Mott and spoke with Nolan Lazuka, who has spent 4 years in choir, is president of the drama club, and serves as a link crew commissioner, among many other things. So let's listen to that interview.
Hi, we are here at Mott High School with Mott senior Nolan Lazuka. We're going to ask him a couple of questions about his plans for after graduation. So Nolan, welcome to the show. Can you first tell me about your path here through Waterford Schools? What are some of the schools that you've attended in the district?
So I started in elementary school. I went to Schoolcraft until third grade. And then after third grade, I went to Grayson when they reopened Grayson, and then to Mason, and then now to Mott for my last 4 years.
Okay, wonderful. And what are some of the things that you're involved in school right now here at Mott?
I'm a link crew commissioner. I'm the president of the drama club. I've been involved with several shows. I'm in ADL, which is the Anti-Defamation League. I've been through choir. I'm in chamber choir. I was in band for a little while, but I'm no longer in band. But so I'm very heavy in the performing arts side of school.
Okay, that's a lot of different groups and organizations that you've been involved with. So you must have a lot of different memories. What is one of your fondest memories from high school?
Probably my fondest would be this year. So we did the musical Cinderella. And after COVID, we noticed that a lot of our numbers got wiped out, so we have very, very small casts. And there was a moment on stage where everyone was kind of just doing their thing. We were doing a mic check, so everyone was checking their mics. And everyone was just kind of together, and it was a big cast. We finally had a big cast. And just looking at everyone, like, laughing and having a good time just really made me happy.
Yeah, awesome. So what are your plans for after high school?
So I'll be going to Hillsdale College to study business administration and financial management. And then after college, I'll be going to law school to get a law degree to become a business lawyer.
Okay, wonderful. Can you talk a little bit how the education that you have received here at Mott has helped you or you think will help you as you go off to Hillsdale?
Yeah, so academically it has helped me with the AP courses and all that, getting the, you know, more rigorous curriculum that the teachers, you know, bring forth to us, plus the AP test. So it definitely academically helped me. But Mott also has helped me in Mott's a very diverse place, so it has taught me to deal with a lot of different types of people. So communication is definitely very important. And, like, communicating with teachers, Mott's very, very good about connecting to students. Teachers, you know, are very good at connecting. So that has definitely helped me making a connection with people and just being able to have a conversation.
What advice would you give to students younger than you?
Just put everything in. Go 100%. No reason to, you know, put half effort in and do something you're not proud of, because if you can't you know, sleep at night and you don't want to, you know, you're just putting not your full 100% yourself into it. No one's really going to care. So people really start caring when you put your passion behind it.
All right. Thank you very much, Nolan. It was wonderful to meet you, and good luck as you go off to Hillsdale and do other things.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Nolan, for that awesome interview. Last but certainly not least, I was able to meet up with Durant Term 3 graduate Jay Lee Saunders, who, interestingly enough, also has big polling plans for the future. Let's hear what Jay Lee has to say. We are here at Durant High School with Jay Lee Saunders, here to speak with her as well about her plans. Jay Lee, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Can you first talk about what other Waterford schools, in addition to Durant, you've attended?
Yeah, I attended Pierce and then Kettering, and then now I'm here at Durant.
Okay, wonderful. And can you talk a little bit about your time here, Durant, some of the things that you're involved with here?
Yeah, I was involved in a group therapy with some of the kids who needed extra help with one of the best resources ever. The best. His name is Charlie, and he was amazing. And everything else was just amazing about the school. I made so many new friends. They were all so supportive. You know, a lot less drama. It was just really the best.
I'm happy to hear that. And you are involved in bowling as well?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Well, I was. The season's over, but yeah, I was.
Can you talk a little bit more about that and in your season and what were some of the things you did on the team?
Yeah, of course. So, me and another girl were kind of like co-captains. We helped out because we had a lot of freshmen on the team, and so we helped out with them. We actually ended up winning regionals. And we took second in our conference tournament, which is very good for us because we did have a lot of freshmen. And it was just a great accomplishment. And it was just nice to work with girls who wanted to learn. A lot of the times, people didn't want to learn. And these girls that I worked with this year wanted to be there and wanted to learn and wanted to win.
All right, and I think you're referencing your co-captain was Maddie Lorio, correct, who we just interviewed at Kettering earlier today. So that's pretty cool, the connection that you guys have there. So now that you're finished with all of that, you're graduating soon, what are your plans for the future?
Yeah, my plans for the future are to go to school. It's Concordia. It's in Ann Arbor, to pursue bowling and to pursue social work so I can become a CPS agent and help kids who are in sticky situations like me. And, yeah, it was just really nice. I'm going to move out there. Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite fond memory that you have of your time here at Durant that you'd like to share?
I mean, all of the memories were amazing, but definitely that the teachers were just there. They would just help. And definitely the movie day was pretty fun. It was like around my last day here, and I just could go around and see all the teachers, like Miss Ramos. Miss Ramos is amazing, one of my favorites. And it was just nice to just talk to them without it having to be school.
Yeah, absolutely. Any advice for other students that are younger than you that might have some questions about maybe high school or something like that?
Please, please, please do your homework. It doesn't matter if you do great on tests. Please do your homework. Please, once one gets missing, it is so hard to catch back up. So hard. That's why I was here, because I needed help catching up and I just didn't make it through. So please do your homework. Please.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Jay Lee, for being on the podcast. There you have it from Jay Lee. Do your homework. So obviously Jay Lee has a very bright future, and we're excited to see what happens coming up.
All right. So there we have it. Some great students graduating from WSD this year who will be sure to represent this district well as they go out into the real world.
Absolutely, Sarah. We are super proud of this year's graduating class. On behalf of this entire community, congratulations to each and every one of you.
Yep, congratulations indeed. And thank you, Lisa. It was great co-hosting with you. Come back again anytime.
I'd love to. Thank you, Sarah.
And to you, Chris, thank you for joining us and best wishes on a career that I hope continues to bring you so much joy.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show today, Sarah. Appreciate it.
Yep. And again, shout out to Mason Principal Radhika Isaac and Student Nominator Charlie McLean, who spoke on behalf of his family about Chris's nomination. We also want to thank all of our graduates who let us come visit them at their schools. You all have very bright futures ahead, and we wish you all the best. This podcast was brought to you by Waterford School District's Department of School and Community Services and is produced by Video Production Coordinator Jane Tichelli. I am the host of this podcast, Sarah Davis, and you can find all episodes of WSD Voice on our website at waterford.k12.mi.us, or you can tune in to 89.5 WAHS or Radio Central Multicultural. We so appreciate you listening today and encourage you to continue to tune in to future episodes of WSD Voice as we discuss topics geared toward inspiring, educating, and empowering our students, staff, alumni, and community to thrive.